The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
It's a big day for the new regime at Halas Hall. Ryan Pace has a draft pick that's headed to the Pro Bowl. Jordan Howard named as the replacement for Arizona running back David Johnson. And this is a humongous deal when you consider that Jordan Howard was a fifth-round pick. And he's going to end his season in Orlando at the Pro Bowl this year. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Alongside Tom Thayer, the 85 Bear, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Tom, put it into perspective, because when Jordan Howard started this year, Dowell Loggins, his offensive coordinator, admitted that he didn't see the special traits that we would eventually see as the season transpired.
Well, I mean, that tells a story right there. Just think, if he would have played every game as the starting running back for the Chicago Bears, he would have probably led the league in rushing, and then he would have made the Pro Bowl on the first vote. But it should make every college kid out there have a higher belief in themselves that it's not all about first-round draft choices. It's about the desire of the player to be great. And I think that's what we've seen. I think that's what we've seen out of Jordan Howard, is everything that we've seen out of him is that it's his desire to be better the next play. Whether it's carrying the football, his blocking responsibilities, his catching the ball out of the backfield, and that's what opened his eyes to Dowell Loggins, believing that this guy can be an every down player for us. But I do think it's the message that he leaves behind to all the kids that are about to prepare for the draft, that just because you're a fifth, sixth, or seventh rounder doesn't mean that you can contribute in a big way.
If you can play, Jim, they will find you, people will notice you, and eventually, somehow, you're going to end up getting your opportunity.
Yeah, I think what's pretty impressive, too, is just, and I think Tom hit it right there, he probably would have led the league in rushing. We know Ezekiel Elliott finished first, or number one, it's over 1,631 yards. But I think what's impressive for me, and Howard's over 1,300 yards, he had 70 less carries than Ezekiel. 70. I mean, that is a big number. But yet, he had a higher average per carry, 5.2 per carry, fumbled less than Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel fumbled five times on the season. Jordan Howard only fumbled once. So that's another good positive sign. And I think if you look at explosive runs, what Tom can explain, plus 20 is an explosive run, plus 40 yard gains is an explosive run. Ezekiel only had 14 plus 20 runs. Jordan Howard's right there with 10. And then the plus 40 runs, he's only one run behind Ezekiel Elliott. So if everybody says that that's the best line in football, I mean, I think Jordan Howard really spoke volumes about what he can do, and congratulations. It hasn't been since the late Gale Sayers was there with the Bears that a Bears running back has done something as special as what Jordan Howard did this season.
Yeah, but that guy was a top five pick. I mean, Jordan Howard was taken in the fifth round, and you talked about it, Jim. I think the thing that stands out, maybe Tom can expand on this, it's undisputed that Ezekiel Elliott was running behind what's considered to be by far and away the best offensive line in the National Football League today. Jordan Howard was running behind a line that seemingly every week was changing personnel because of injury.
Right. But the thing about it is the exclamation point to Jordan Howard is yards after contact. And I think he was number one in the league amongst running backs. Yeah. So you think about his desire to finish runs, either running over a defensive back to get to the goal line or have it to finish with a 5 or 6 yards, 4 yards after contact. That's the the proving point of any great running back. And I think that was one of the frustrating things that kind of concluded Matt Forte's career here, was a lot of times he went down in the open field with contact by one guy. Jordan Howard, it took him two or three guys to get him to the ground, but it's the 5 or 6 yards after contact that was so impressive.
And we talked about this with Jordan Howard throughout the year, Tom, how when you watch him in drills, there's nothing that he does in the traditional drills that evaluators use to figure out how good a running back is. There's nothing in those drills that's going to make Jordan Howard look special. What makes Jordan Howard special is what you just talked about. It's when you watch him in real games, his ability to decipher what the defense is doing, the patience that he exhibits in terms of finding the hole and his ability to explode, the yards after contact and the desire, and the mental toughness, the desire, his smarts. Those are things, they don't have drills that can test that.
You know, Jim, every great running back has the ability to set up the blockers in front of them. In all you look at all the guys around the NFL, you know, these days, or guys in college that end up being great in the pros. Jordan Howard, I think that's one of his biggest assets, is being able to set up his blockers.
You know, it's interesting because right now, you know how Le'Veon Bell's running for Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Everybody's saying, well, look at his unique style, how he's just, I've never seen a running back do that either. Like when you're stopping in the hole and allowing your offensive lineman, like this past week was Foster. I think they were running a power play to the left, and he's setting up his blockers. I don't even remember Le'Veon Bell doing that at Michigan State, but I do know this. He was always a patient runner, and Michigan State runs a pro-style offense, power, and all those plays are in there. So I think he feels comfortable doing it. But since he shed the weight, I think he's quicker in terms of his step and his stop and acceleration when you look at Le'Veon Bell. And I think how that relates to Jordan Howard, because I'm with you, because to me, he's got a very patient style, Jordan, how he sets up the blockers and then hits the hole. I think if he trims up a little bit and still can keep his power, he may get even more in terms of those explosive runs once he gets quicker at the NFL level.
I talked to him about this, and he will join us at some point later on in the program here, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I don't think that he thought he would be in a position where he would be the bell cow this year. So from a fitness and physical standpoint, I don't think his body was ready to endure what he went through this year. Wait till he has an offseason to prepare for what's coming now that he knows. It's exciting to think of what's next for Jordan Howard.
It is. Well, Le'Veon, I know for a fact, because I called Michigan State Radio, he played at 245. And now at the pros, he's 215. And I think we see the results here. Plus, you know, he's more focused now. We know he had the issues off the field. But, man, I mean, I don't know about you, Tom, but every time I see Le'Veon Bell, the way he – it kind of reminds me a little bit of Marcus Allen with what he's doing. I think he's a better receiver than Marcus Allen, but it's amazing. And if that's the patience that he displays, if any of that is true for Jordan Howard and he can trim up and get physically in top physical, the standard set, I think everybody is going to expect him to perform like he did this rookie season. But I think from his standpoint, he knows he has a lot of room to grow. There's a lot of ceiling there for Jordan Howard, and it is exciting.
You know, it's a little different between the Marcus Allen era and Le'Veon Bell and Jordan Howard. Back in Marcus Allen's era, they were a little bit bigger and slower on the inside. You know, you had your Matt Millen, you had your LeVon Kirkland, guys like that that would flow to the point of attack. Now you have these undersized guys that they extreme quickness. They try to get to the hole. So what these running backs do, they allow them to over-pursue. The offensive linemen get in position to make the block, and boom, they cut it backwards. And next thing you know, they're looking to a crease that's going 4 to 8 yards.
Well, we've got to take the time out here. Another thing that I spoke to Jordan Howard about late in the year is he's going to spend nearly every day this offseason working on catching footballs coming out of the backfield, because he felt that he squandered a number of scoring opportunities catching the ball out of the backfield where he would have had easy touchdowns this past season. And this is a guy who clearly has put in the work his entire life to get to the point that he's at right now. Let's take a break. When we come back, here's a question for you. When you were watching the national championship game in college football on Monday night, were you watching as a fan like most of us, or were you watching, guys, as evaluators, considering that the third overall pick could have been playing in that game? We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is along. So is 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. All right, let's get right to it, because I don't know how you could watch the national championship game in college football without thinking that there's a potential Bear on the field with that third overall pick. And, you know, everyone knows that quarterback is a position of need. Ryan Pace talked about it. Deshaun Watson, in that first half, the Clemson quarterback, he was getting battered, guys, battered by Alabama. And yet, when the pressure was on in the second half, you began to see why so many people speak highly of this guy. And that, to me, was impressive. The resolve that he had, taking the shots, that 360 when he got hit in the head, that's what you want out of your quarterback. The intangibles, you saw the athleticism, you saw the big play when you needed the big play. Isn't that what you want in a QB?
You know what I saw is a 99 offensive play, and I never saw fatigue in him. I never see him breathing heavy. I never see him with his hands on his knees. When he was in and out of the hut, or when he was given his commands, he was doing it clear-headed as what you could ask for a guy under those circumstances, that preparation and the defense you're playing against. So it was really exciting to watch a player that had so much thrust upon him in terms of the success and failure of that game specifically was probably going to be because of the quarterback position. And then you have his number one receiver taking a shot to the head maybe in the third or fourth play of the game, yeah, and he's out of the game for a period of time. So all those things impressed me because the quarterback has so many responsibilities throughout the course of a game, 99 offensive plays, it speaks volumes for getting guys at the line of scrimmage.
I've been waiting 48 hours to talk to Jim about this because Jim did it. You know, we've watched quarterbacks. You've played with quarterbacks, obviously, Tom, but this guy actually played the position in this league. When you look at quarterbacks and you think about what made you successful when you were on the field, Jim, what is the thing that you're looking for that if you could speak to evaluators and say, hey, this guy has to have this in order to be successful in the NFL?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, all the intangible things. I think you hit on one of them was the physical toughness of them. Because, you know, and it's not just quarterbacks that have to be tough, you know, the physical aspect of it, but the mental side of it. And that's true for all football players. But I think at that position with all the pressure and things like that, and to me, like what you said, Zach, it was after that big hit by Jonathan Allen that he really started to buckle down and play some good football. I mean, that was a tremendous second half that Deshaun Watson played, and he played big when his team needed him most, especially coming off the loss last year. You know, that's another big game last year, and you end up on the losing side of it, and you're getting beat up a little bit in this game, and he just kind of put his foot in the ground and said, not today. We're not losing today to Alabama, and kind of willed his team. So definitely I think his stock did improve. I'm hoping he elects to go down to that Reese's Senior Bowl. He has the invite because he's an early, because he graduated, so he's eligible to play in that Senior Bowl, even if he doesn't play in the game. Just to go down there to practice, show his skills, remove all doubt, because to me that was the turning point last year for not only Carson Wentz, but put Dak Prescott on the rise. And Dak, as we spoke last week, he would have went higher if it wasn't for the incident that he had prior to the draft. But as for the other draftable players, Jonathan Allen, yeah, I'll take him. Reuben Foster, the inside backer, I'll take him. I like the left tackle. I love O.J. Howard. I hope the Bears are looking at that tight end. Is all. I think that's a position the Bears need. How about Mike Williams, the receiver, looked pretty good for Clemson. That guy's expected to go high in the draft as well. So a lot of talent on that field in that national championship game.
Jim, when you're evaluating a quarterback that's coming out of college, how important is huddling to you? How important is it to take a center quarterback exchange from right directly behind the center? And how does that factor into how they're going to transition into the pro game?
No, it's a good point. And, you know, it's funny, and we had talked about this before a couple years ago when Tennessee, Ken Whisenhunt was the coach for the Senior Bowl, and he had to ask the players to raise their hand how many guys had actually huddled up in college. Only five guys raised their hand. Five guys actually had, like you said, the traditional huddle, and it is a problem. Look at the quarterbacks that have come out recently. This started, I think, really the year of Kevin Cobb when
Utah quarterback.
Yeah, the Eagles drafted him. Pat Shurmur, then the offensive coordinator of the Eagles, they wouldn't even allow him to get in the shotgun his first 2 years. They would have him do everything underneath the center. I also think you can see it happening with the Jets. Bryce Petty out of Baylor, it's been a problem. RG3 out of Baylor, it's a problem, and he's somewhat regressed. Look at even the kid this year the Jets drafted. He hasn't developed the way that he was in that James Franklin offense at Penn State. Thought he did pretty well the first 2 years under Bill O'Brien, but everything was in shotgun. And Chan Gailey, who now just recently retired, Chan was my OC in Pittsburgh. Chan even publicly said, yeah, it's a problem. This guy is struggling to learn the techniques that you need. And I thought it was interesting that the news broke today that Don Yee, I guess Mike Shanahan, a couple other people are going to start another football league, that if kids elect not to go to college or even do go to college, they're going to start a West Coast league to really teach those techniques so players are better positioned to transition to the pros, not just at quarterback. Tom, you can talk about it from an offensive line standpoint. These guys don't even line up in the three-point stance anymore. Everything's a two-point stance because it's a spread offense. Where's the drive blocking? Where's the power plays? Where are the plays they need to do that they need to run in the National Football League? I think it's problematic. It really is.
You know, maybe we can get a little bit of a talent evaluation for our next guest out of the Clemson first-round draft choice for the Chicago Bears. Donnell Wolford's on the phone with us. Hey, Donnell. We're talking about the most talented player that you looked at from the game the other night. If you picked one out from the Clemson side, who would it be for you?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm well, Donnell. How are you?
It would be Deshaun Watson. I tell you, he's a tremendous leader. I mean, he's led our team from day one. And then on the offensive side of the ball, and on the defensive side would be Ben Bowler. Weak side linebacker. You know, those two guys stepped up to the plate, and guess what? You know, they rallied their troops, and, you know, we won a national championship last Monday night.
Is Bowler, does he have the measurables to be in that NFL grouping, or is he going to be a guy that a team's going to take a mid-round flyer on because of his instincts, his intelligence, and just his leadership power that he showed Monday night?
You know, he has heart. I was undersized, and, they didn't think I was going to go in the first round. I was too small and didn't run a fast 40 at the combine. So, and I ended up going the first round. So, I really can only tell you his heart is – he has such a tremendous big heart and such great leadership skills. And it's no telling where – the sky's the limit for Ben Bowler.
We're talking with former Bears cornerback Donnell Wolford. He was Peanut Tillman before Peanut Tillman.
Right, 36 picks.
Yeah, Charles Tillman is the guy who broke all of Wolford's records as a Bears defensive back. Now, what I find fascinating is that when you went to Clemson, you went there as a running back. You were a star running back in high school, Donnell. And then, as I have it right here, you watched the team practice, and you saw that they were loaded with running backs. So you figured there's no way you're going to be able to get on the field with all these other running backs on the team. So you started scanning and looking for who had the fewest number of players in a position group. Corner was that position, and that's how you became a defensive back, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I was running 4 feet ahead in high school as a running back, and I got to Clemson, and I said, Terry Allen, they had some great running backs there. And, I decided I wanted to play early. So it was a business decision, and it turned out good for me. And I ended up running forward. Now I'm going backwards, and the rest is history.
Well, Donnell, Jim Miller here. Good to talk to you. And, man, you must be proud. Must be proud of your alma mater and what you guys were able to accomplish. And what is it about Dabo Swinney? Those players just seem to love him. And look at the talent. They've kicked out every bit as much of talent as a team like Alabama in NFL drafts. Guys like Vic Beasley. You look at the DeAndre Hopkins, Martavius Bryant. I mean, Clemson.
Shaq Lawson has been kicking it out
for quite some time, Donnell.
I tell you, Dabo Swinney he gave me an opportunity to come back here and coach, and I have nothing but respect for him. And I always tell him, I say, if you're retired from coaching, you can run for president. I vote for you because that guy's just that talent. He's good around people. He believes in the Lord, and I tell you, everybody's buys into his system and and his staff and players, and it's just. He's a family man, and it showed this year, and that's why we end up winning the national championship.
Hey, Donnell, one of the big things that have haunted the Bears this year is a lack of turnovers. And then when you make the transition from running back to cornerback, and then in the NFL with the Bears, you finish your career with 36 interceptions for 303 yards. How do you develop that? Is it instincts, or is it just that you had the athleticism to stick with receivers and read quarterbacks?
Some of it is genetics and instinct. I was, a pretty good athlete. I played basketball. I had a scholarship, but I also played basketball at Clemson University, and I decided not to. And I ran track, but, I just thought, I was a pretty good athlete. But, you can coach him to be a successful defensive back. I mean, you just got to have the right coach and the right system for these guys, and it'll work out for them.
All right, last question. We're into the playoffs. Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, what's the difference between the two of them? You played a bunch against Brett Favre, and now you have a chance to watch Aaron Rodgers. Why is Aaron Rodgers so great, even though Brett Favre was as good as he was?
That's a tough question, Tom. You would ask me that, wouldn't you?
We're in the playoffs. You know, you got to.
This is what I want to know from Danelle.
I don't think you can answer, but it's going to be tight. I would say far, but Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous quarterback. And everybody, you know, he's Superman. So, you know, he gets in the playoffs, and, man, he just lights it up. So, both of them are great quarterbacks. I had an opportunity to play against one of them, and I'm glad I didn't play against Aaron because, you know, he's a bad man.
So, especially at the end of the first.
As Stephen A. says on his show, Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. He is a bad man.
He certainly is. Hey, Danelle, what's the proper technique when you're a defensive back? Because Aaron Rodgers now has 3 Hail Marys successfully completed in the last 2 seasons. If you're a DB, what are you supposed to do to make sure he doesn't complete that Hail Mary?
Don't let him get off the line of scrimmage. Just beat him up. Don't let him get down the field because, hey, he's going to throw it up there, and chances are somebody's going to catch it because this guy's tremendous. He's a tremendous athlete, and, you know, he makes plays, you know, and I respect him for that. But you just got to beat those guys up at the line of scrimmage and, you know, don't let him get down that field.
Great stuff. Danelle Wolford, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you,
Danelle Wolford, the former Bear teammate of Tom Thayer. He was lucky because when he left Clemson and joined the NFL, the Bears drafted him pretty high. And
first round, he
got to play with a lot of the guys that had been a part of the 85 Bears. So think about joining that kind of defense. Had to have been intimidating as a young player, but he fit right in.
You're right. He lived up to the billing. You know,
great stuff. That's what the Bears are trying to do this year with that 3rd overall pick. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that would happen to me. So the Pro Bowl seemingly every year is played in Hawaii, right?
Yep.
This is one of those few years where they've moved it from Hawaii. They brought it back to the mainland. It's going to be in Orlando. And Jordan Howard, the Bears rookie running back, makes the Pro Bowl, doesn't get to go to Hawaii. He has to end up, poor guy, he's going to be in Orlando.
You get more of your support to make it to Florida easier than Hawaii.
Jordan, congratulations on making the Pro Bowl. He joins us now here on Bears All Access. It's not Hawaii, it's Orlando. But for a guy who was a 5th-round pick, if I would have told you the day you were drafted, and I know you were ticked off because you felt you should have gone higher in the draft, if I would have told you that day that you would end up playing in the Pro Bowl, what would have been your reaction?
I definitely believe you, at least now. For like my rookie year, ended up in the Pro Bowl, so I wouldn't believe you.
Hey, Jordan, what did you improve most at throughout this season?
Just recognizing what the defenses were showing me, like things that we watched on film and then showing up in the game, and so being able to anticipate better.
Well, Jordan, Jim Miller here. Congratulations. Terrific year for you. Well-deserved to go to the Pro Bowl. And, you know, just how does that make you feel? Like when you're going to be down there, you're going to be rubbing elbows with some of the guys you competed against all year and still probably can pick their brains and learn a thing or two down at the Pro Bowl.
Well, it makes me feel pretty good. It's a big honor for me, not only for me, but the team as well, because they definitely helped me out, helped me get to this point. So it's definitely a big honor for the whole organization.
Hey, Jordan, you know, the season concluded a couple weeks ago, and what have you been doing since? Because, you know, you get this notification today. Is it something that you have to get back on the conditioning frame of mind because you have to be ready for the Pro Bowl? Luckily, you have a few weeks to get prepared. Or are you the type of guy that kind of stays in shape all year round?
I'm definitely going to have to start doing some cardio in the next few weeks just in anticipation for the Pro Bowl. So I'm definitely going to start doing some more cardio and things like that.
Visiting with Bears running back Jordan Howard, who was named to the Pro Bowl today. David Johnson, the Arizona running back, is out, so Jordan is now in. 2nd leading rusher in the National Football League. How did that happen when you didn't even get an opportunity to start the season as the number one guy?
When I got my opportunity, I just wanted to make the most out of my opportunity, like I said before. And the first game I played decent. The O-line, they did a pretty good job. And tight ends and receivers, they do a great job of blocking downfield as well. And so just every game, I just tried to stay out and be consistent. I had a little rough patch for like 2 games, but other than that, I feel like I was pretty consistent for the most part of the year.
Well, the Pro Bowl, they're having some different skills tests this year. How's your dodgeball game? Can we take us back to grade school? How's your dodgeball game, Jordan? Is it okay?
It's all right. It's been a little while since I played dodgeball, so I might be a little rusty.
I know this, that you would have to nail Jordan Howard with the second dodgeball because the first hit never brought him down.
Hey, Jordan, one thing about you had to learn a new offense. You came into the Bear as a rookie, so obviously you're learning a new system. But, you know, there's a lot of transition of interior offensive linemen that you kind of had to get used to also. Did that change anything for you, or it was just listening to the play called in the huddle and, you know, just reading the blocks, how they unfolded in front of you? Because, you know, Kyle Long, Josh Sitton, they're a little different than Ted Larson and Eric Cush. And, you know, so did it change anything for you, or was it pretty much you stayed consistent according to the play called?
It didn't really change, but I stayed pretty much consistent because those guys, Ted Larson, Eric Cush, they did a great job preparing for when they knew they would be having a big role in the game. They did a great job preparing, so they were ready and they opened up lanes for me, and it was basically seamless.
Biggest thing for you in terms of the transition from college to pro that you had to adjust to, and how many family and friends are going to join you down there at the Pro Bowl?
At first, the biggest thing was just learning the playbook, just all the information that you have to learn with the playbook. But once I got that out of control, I would say just the speed of the game and being able to recognize the blitzes and things and where they're coming from.
Hey, Jordan, did that run early in the Minnesota game, did it surprise you when you went to the, was it 68 yards maybe? Were you surprised by that at all? And did that run right there give you confidence for the whole night with the 158 yards rushing you had?
It definitely did, because coming to the game, they had lost one game previously, and they had like one of the top-ranked defenses in the league, and they were really shutting down the ranked game. And so when I broke that big run, I felt like we were going to have a big night.
Take us through what you're going to be doing this offseason to make yourself better. Because I think anyone who watched you last year, and I know in talking to you about this late in the year, you talked about how you want to improve in terms of your ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and turn those catches into big gains. And also, from a physical standpoint, do you have to do more, considering now you know going into this upcoming season that you're the number one. You're going to get the carries. You're probably going to get even more carries than you had a year ago.
Yeah, no, I got to. For my off-season training, I plan on going down to Miami and training at Bomarito. And Le'Veon Bell, he's down there most of the time, so I'll be hoping to work with him even more. And then I just know I have to have better condition, because I know I'd be carrying an even larger load. Like this year, it was unexpected. I wasn't really expected to carry this much of a load.
It's interesting that you brought him up. We were just talking about Le'Veon. I called Michigan State football when Le'Veon played there. He was 245 when he was at Michigan State, and he's thinned up and he's a lot quicker to the hole. But you have that same patient type of style of running to let your blockers do the work. Where did that come from, Jordan?
For me, it's pretty much just natural. And then I kind of learned it, like my coaches, they used to tell me all the time that you can't be going too fast, because if you go too fast, the linemen, they won't have a chance to set up their blocks, and you'll mess the time of the play up. So you definitely have to be patient when you're running the ball.
Hey, Jordan, it's one more about Le'Veon Bell. Early in the Pittsburgh game, they have him lined up at the wide receiver to the farthest left, and he runs a streak route down the sideline. They throw him the ball, and he makes a great catch. Is that play in the future for Jordan Howard? Do you have those types of hands, or do you think that you can develop to be that exterior wide receiver weapon even out of the running back position?
I definitely hope to evolve into being that type of player. I'm not there yet, but I definitely hope in the future to be that type of player, just to make me more dangerous and so we can open up the offense even more.
Anyone who followed your story this year, and it was well documented, just the pride that you have from where you've come from and the causes that are near and dear to your heart. You lost your dad in 2007, your dad, Doc, to pulmonary fibrosis, and that was, I know, one of your big causes this year. You still wear that shirt underneath your uniform every time you go out and play. What would it have meant to him to see you playing in Orlando in that Pro Bowl this year?
I think it would have meant a lot, because we always talked about how this was the ultimate goal, just to make it to the NFL and things like that. And to see me have success in the NFL, I think it would mean a lot, even more. But just being able to play in an All-Star game, I wasn't chosen in high school to play in an All-Star game in my state. So it's definitely a big accomplishment for me.
Think about that. In his state, he wasn't asked to play in the All-Star game. Wow. Now, in the biggest stage that you can have as an NFL player, you're the best of the best. I mean, what's the message that you can give to any kid who might be doubting himself because he's not getting the recognition at a young age?
One thing I just tell him is just never give up. You might go through some things, but you just always got to keep pushing because you never know what will happen if you just put your all into it and just keep fighting no matter the adversity.
Great stuff. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on making the Pro Bowl.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan.
And I think it's safe to say, Zach Zaidman, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, that the Bears had a pretty good draft class this past season when you consider that, you know, Leonard Floyd, in limited action on the field, was able to get 7 sacks. Cody Whitehair, the job that he did playing the center position when he only found out he was going to be that guy, the starting center, a week before the regular season opener. I think what he showed at that position was really impressive. Jordan Howard, who we just had on, Pro Bowl running back after being a fifth-round pick. And there were other guys that were able to contribute as well. Nick Kwiatkowski was a guy who showed you some things as the year went on. You know, hopefully Deion Bush can continue to ascend as a player in the defensive backfield.
Jonathan Bullard's got to grow up.
Yeah, I think what I like about Bullard is that Vic Fangio, who was down on him at one point during the season, had some nice things to say about him near the end of the year.
Well, I think that's the frustrating thing about Jonathan Bullard is throughout training camp, throughout the regular season, and through different spurts during the regular season, you saw real quality football play out of the young guy. But you can't just show it in spurts. It's got to be an every down effort, because one thing about the defensive line position, when you play a 34, it's a rotated position.
And Jim, that's different than what he was doing at the college level. He had to make the adjustment switching from what he played at in Florida to the kind of defense the Bears run. And that's an adjustment for a young player.
It is. And well, I'll give you a case in point. Look at Vic Beasley from year one to year two. I mean, the guy did nothing. Absolutely.
Bud Dupree, another example?
Yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, you develop him, you work with him. I know Brian Cox, obviously the former Chicago Bear, he's down there coaching him, and I actually got the opportunity to talk to Vic Beasley, and he credited Brian Cox because he felt he could have got more sacks last year, but he was just a second late, you know, getting to the quarterback, and all of a sudden they just kept on working and working through the techniques, and all of a sudden he explodes onto the scene and now leads the league in sacks. It is a transition. You got to learn to be a pro. You learn that it's about consistency. Yeah, there's certain roles that players are asked to do. I think Jonathan Bullard, from my standpoint, like what Tom was talking about, you got to train your mind when you're going to get in there on pass rushing downs, because I do think the Bears want to use them in a NASCAR package. That's your time to shine. And that's where you really got to be the impact player that they drafted you to be in those type of situations. I think he'll get it, and he'll get better at practicing, and I think ultimately it'll translate to the field.
You know, a guy like Vic Beasley, it could be as simple as being able to use your explosiveness according to the snap count, and sometimes when you don't hear the snap count at home, and get the advantage against the offensive lineman who can't recover as quickly as Vic Beasley can go forward. And those are the things about Jonathan Bullard, is he has good on the line discipline according to the snap count. He has a good step and redirect to go in the position of the play, and he can be double teamed. So, you know, it is that mental discipline that when you go through a 16-game regular season, if you get 35, 37 reps a game, every single one of those reps got to be 100%. And I think he had a great example right down the line of scrimmage in Akeem Hicks. Came in here as a high-profile free agent, and I really, really respect what I saw at Akeem Hicks throughout the regular season all the way to the end of the season, and I think he's a great example for Jonathan Bullard to work up to.
All right, I want to switch gears here because I think the quarterback discussion is going to be one that we seemingly have every single week. But now we can have it, I think, with a little bit more knowledge, knowing that North Carolina quarterback Mitch Trubisky has declared for the NFL draft. So now that we know he's in, this is a guy who played 13 college games. 13. You know, Mark Sanchez, remember when he was drafted out of USC, yep. And there was that big thing with Pete Carroll at the time that said, man, you're making a mistake. He played 16 games, and people thought that he didn't have enough experience.
He didn't.
Yet there are people that tell you that Mitch Trubisky could be the best quarterback in this draft. Jim, what do you see out of this guy that makes people feel that way, and is it warranted?
I think he's a good athlete. He moves around well, throws on the run well, throws good timing routes. You know, I think his arm is better than average. Size, I'd like him to be a little bit taller, but, you know, he's tall enough to play the position. You know, he's like Andy Dalton, 6'2", at the quarterback spot. It's tough because the old rule by Bill Parcells, and Tom kind of hit it on, that you want to have him at least 30 starts. 30 starts coming out of college is really a good telltale sign. So there really isn't enough on tape to really break down. So now you're really going to have to do your homework, meaning every interception that he threw, it's going to be scrutinized even more. Obviously, any team that's interested in drafting him, they're going to have to get him on the board, test his ability in terms of protections, style of offense, how in-depth he can get in terms of his reads and his progressions and all those type of things. And I think that's true for all these guys. You know, I think it's true for Deshaun Watson. I think it's true for Kaya out of Miami. And I think it's true for Deshaun Kaiser out of Notre Dame. He's got a very strong arm, but that Brian Kelly offense kind of scares me in how it prepares a quarterback. And again, that's why I hope Deshaun Watson, he can clear up a lot of these things if he goes down and participates in that Reese's Senior Bowl. I'm not trying to be the cheerleader to promote the game, but it's true. I mean,
hey, Carson Bears Wentz coaching staff would love to see him play in the Senior Bowl because, absolutely, as you mentioned a year ago, and Fox was talking about how he had a conversation with Jason Garrett, the head coach of the Cowboys, and last year Dak Prescott went to the Senior Bowl, and that's where he really impressed the Dallas evaluators because they had a close-up look at him, and when he became available, they took him, even though there were some reports that they wanted Connor Cook, and he ended up going to the Raiders first.
Well, here's why. Because it's not even close. When you're comparing apples to apples, I mean, you could see Carson Wentz was head and shoulders above everybody. I mean, he was in and out of the huddle, just how he reacted. He looked like a pro quarterback that belonged. And my evaluation of Dak Prescott was the same because there was no limit to him. He proved, I could take a snap under center. It wasn't a big deal to him. He proved all that down there, how he handled himself. If a bad play happened, how does he react? Those type of things. He ended up winning the Senior Bowl MVP last year. He kind of removed all doubt. It all started. And think about it. You're only there competing against the top 110 people in the country. When you go to the combine, there's 336 guys you're with, all right? And then free agency, we all know how many guys are out there in free agency. Think about a job fair. If you went to a job fair and you knew every NFL coach, every NFL scout, every NFL GM, they're all going to be at that event, and you're the one out of 110 guys. That's pretty good. Your odds are pretty good. You're going to get the time that you need, and they're going to come and get what they need out of you in terms of the interviews, and you're a step ahead of the game. And I'll give you a case in point. When you can just see it compared to Wentz and Prescott, and then the other quarterback there that I thought showed he belonged was Cody Kessler. Remember, he played in there, gets drafted by the Cleveland Browns. Now let me throw out a quarterback who didn't, Jeff Driscoll. He was from a spread offense, transferred from Florida to La Tech, I believe, and he did everything shotgun. He looked out of sorts. He ended up getting taken by San Francisco, but you could tell it wasn't even close and why he became a late draft pick and those other guys moved up in the draft.
Love this conversation. We'll continue it on the other side. Here's what I want to know. If I'm Deshaun Watson, what more do I have to prove to you? I've had monster back-to-back games against Alabama, the team that everyone considers to be the top dog up until he beat him on Monday night. Meantime, all he's done is produce every single game in a major conference for a major university, show you all the intangibles. Why does he have to show more? 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. We've been talking about the quarterbacks now that we know North Carolina's Mitch Trubisky has entered the NFL draft. Deshaun Kaiser out of Notre Dame. He's a guy that ran a pro-style offense, looked fantastic last year filling in doing a good job, but he had a lot of NFL talent around him. Will Fuller was out there.
You know, it's
CJ
too, with him, it's also the pressure that you face in Brian Kelly because he's always such an angry face.
He is joyless.
Yes, he is. And, you know, that's something that you have to, you know, I think that helps you grow up. It doesn't necessarily give you football intelligence, but when you live and you play with that type of pressure, it's the pressure you're going to face in the NFL.
But if he's that good and he's got the size, he's got the measurables that the evaluators look for, but then why did we see great things last year? Then you take some guys off that team who are now in the NFL, and all of a sudden that team took a major step backwards this year.
You talk about the Notre Dame team?
Yeah.
It's because they didn't resupply the talent with the talent that had left there, both on the offensive line at the receiver position. They had receivers getting injured. They have a running back that gets injured early. So, I mean, that it guarantees you nothing, and that's one of the – you know, you saw mistakes there, and that they were too haunting on the special teams in every other area.
Jim, I heard that Brian Billick, the former coach of the Baltimore Ravens who won a Super Bowl there, said that they took Kyle Bowler out of Cal years ago, and he was supposed to be the quarterback of their future. And he said that, you know, when you looked at his accuracy numbers at Cal, they weren't good, but the evaluators and Billick included, they made excuses for why the accuracy was down. And he felt that at the NFL level, that is what killed him as a quarterback. And when you look at accuracy, it's the most important thing that you look at from a quarterback perspective. When we see Deshaun Watson and we see all these big games he's played, you look at the stats, the accuracy isn't there. Why?
Yeah. No, I think it could be just, again, the style of offense. If you go back a few years, who am I thinking of the other quarterback out of Clemson? Taj Boyd. He struggled in the NFL. You know, the NFL, the volume of plays is just a lot bigger than what even the Clemson Tigers run and what Taj Boyd was using. All those things are going to have to be dived into there. I mean, the decision-making this year, what do you have, 17 picks this year, 13 picks last year? I think that's the biggest down or negative on Deshaun Watson. Even in this national championship game, he got away with a couple of throws that definitely would be picked off in the pros because your decision-making and your accuracy better be on point, or it's going to be a tough career for you in the NFL. So those are the things that he's going to have to answer. I mean, that whole checklist about intangibles, I actually got a list that I wrote out. It's smart, toughness, accuracy, arm strength, decision-making, anticipation, delivery quickness, ball security, movement skills, short step, no step throws, your work ethic, are you coachable, can you handle pressure? Those are kind of all the things that I think coaches are looking for. And you can definitely, even though there's not a lot on tape of these guys, I guarantee you Deshaun Watson, all those 17 interceptions on his visit, if he goes and visits a team, they'll be putting in that tape, every one of those interceptions saying, why did you throw this here? Break it down for me. And if they don't get the answer that they want or that they need to hear or that they feel that they can coach that out of you, then his stock will drop. Because that'll get you beat in a hurry in the National Football League.
Hey, Jim, you know what? And I have to say this. You have to respect for, I mean, what I'm about to say. Is the athlete you were is not the athlete that some of these guys are. But when you talk about the most important attribute to a quarterback in the evaluation is being smart. And that's why you had a long, successful career in the NFL is because mentally you knew what you were doing. You weren't thinking after you took the center quarterback exchange. You knew what you were doing after that. And that has to be because I think a lot of people, like, you know, if you put Carson Wentz next to Deshaun Watson, you said, oh, my God, here's a guy 6'5", 6'6". He's got to be better. That's not the case. It's about the intelligence factor above any of the other things that you mentioned, and you mentioned smarts being the top requirement.
Yeah, you got to have football IQ, and that's another thing that really Dak Prescott blew everybody away, his football intelligence. We talked to Stephen Jones yesterday, Pat Kerwin and I did, and, you know, some of the things that kid has displayed down there, you know, it shocked him. I mean, you go into Green Bay, you beat Green Bay, just how he's handled it, his teammates in terms of, you know, there was a scrimmage that they had and Dez Bryant needed to get out of bounds in a situation. And Dak, taking ownership of a team and being a leader, ran over and says, Dez, we can't win that way. This is a rookie calling out Dez Bryant. And Dez Bryant responded and said, you're right. You know, and just the way he's worked and gone about his business as a pro, and he's a smart guy, and his recall, and just all the things that truly matter.
That's a great point, Jim, this is what drives me crazy, because you look at the NFL, you look at the best quarterbacks today. Dak fell to the fourth round. Tom Brady, who might be the smartest quarterback in the NFL, may be the smartest quarterback in the history of the league before all is said and done. This guy dropped to round number six. He couldn't – he had to – they didn't even know what they had at Michigan.
Joe Montana.
I mean, think about it. Joe Montana, another guy, ended up in the third round. Drew Brees dropped to the second. Aaron Rodgers, for all the physical gifts that we see, dropped all the way near the end of the first round.
Yeah.
Why are evaluators missing this stuff?
I think the things, they're unscoutable. You know, you can't put, whether it's heart, the hard work, the dedication of a player, all those things, some of those things are just unscoutable, and they just go off of what they see on tape. But you got to get to know the person and what type of player, or how much, you know, really that the guy loves football and wants to compete, because all those guys definitely do that.
Think about the guys picked ahead of Dan Marino. I mean, he's one of the best examples. He'll run a 5.40, but he'll throw the ball quicker than anybody.
Tom ended his career playing with Dan Marino in Miami. Guys, great stuff this show, and we've got a full offseason to boot with this kind of stuff. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin, Tony Gill. Thanks for helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. And our executive producers at Hallis Hall, Padge and Greg Miller, thank you so much. Jordan Howard, our guest. Danelle Wolford, our guest. An action-packed show. Thanks for listening. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.